Oh, you know what? I saw that tweet.
Yeah.
That would be classic friend.
It's broken.
It's broken. good evening. Welcome to the Conference Committee on the Health and Human Services Budget. It is Thursday, April 19th. I appreciate members of the public and others, your patience. And,
Randy doesn't want to sit by me anyways.
We've got a replacement. And just to members and others, to give you a brief recap of what we're going to try to accomplish tonight, we expect this meeting to be relatively short compared to the meeting we had earlier in the week, I guess. Since that time, we have been given some guidance from our caucus on what the numbers should look like in both the current biennium as well as in the tails. And those numbers are reflected in the spreadsheet. It's approximately $18
million? Yes, Mr. Chair.
In the current biennium and about $23 million in the tails. And so with those constraints, compelled us to think about what choices we have to make use of that money. And so Representative Abler have had a few conversations looking at the House and the Senate bills to prepare a proposed use of those funds, which is reflected in the spreadsheet that you have before you. We'd like to give our finance analysts a little bit of an opportunity to go through and talk about each of the line items in the bill. Then we will take some discussion or answer questions as they may be on those provisions. And then we will adopt the spreadsheet and delay until tomorrow adoption of the language that supports the numbers as well as language that may not have any finance implications at all. But we will do that tomorrow. And our goal would be to close up or at least be finished with the bill. I'm not sure we'll close it up, but we will be finished with the work on the bill with the restraints that we currently are working with. So with that being said, I'd like to ask if Mr. Albrecht, if you could begin to walk us through, or if you've made arrangements with the other parties involved, but however you want to do this, to take us through the spreadsheet, if you would.
Mr. Chair and members, as you noted on line 7 are the totals. These are probably the strangest targets I've ever seen. $18,153,000 and $23,479,000 in the tails. The individual items begin on page 2. On line 95 is a House provision that allows MA coverage for mental health physician assistance. On line 99 is a Senate provision for a managed care study from the Department of Human Services. The cost on that is $235,000. On line 105 is what was once a Senate position in the contingent article is now in this article for an planning for an autism residential campus at the Department of Human Services for $177,000. On line 117 is a Senate position for critical access dental changes. Skipping down to line 148 is a Senate position relating to nursing facility Medicare certification changes for a $13,000 cost. On line 151, Mr. Chair, this is a different presentation of these individual items that previously we had on two sheets, one regular, one contingent. I have tried to note the ones that are contingent. And just so everyone knows, that's a decision, a leadership decision that hasn't been finalized of whether or not these things are actually going to be in a separate article or not. On line 151 is the provision to delay the relative PCA reduction. that has a cost this biennium of $5.9 million and $1.7 million in the tails. On line 185 is the managed care reporting audit activities. This has been changed from the Senate position to begin in the next biennium, and for there to be one audit per biennium. That's why you see only an amount in fiscal year 2014.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen, I think Mr. Albrecht meant line 165. I think he said 185, but I think this is 165.
Yes, that would be my bifocals, yes. Mr. Chair, and my tired eyes. Sorry, Senator.
We're printed at 8:23 p.m., right?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're at the same sheet. Let's
roll. Line 172. This is the restoration of the emergency medical assistance coverage for cancer and dialysis. One time, this was basically the Senate position of $4.7 million. Part of that used to be in the contingent article. Now it's all contingent. On line 180, this is a revised provision relating to the long-term care consultation. There's new language that will be incorporated into the existing provision. This does not relate or involve repealing the existing law. It just involves changing it. On line 187 is the Senate position relating to adult foster care and group home changes. That has a small cost in this biennium, $94,000, with about $1 million of savings in the next. On line 196 is the community paramedics provision. That's reflecting a bill that has been signed, but we're tracking the savings in this bill. On line 200 is the nursing home moratorium exception. This is for construction projects. It would authorize $1 million worth of projects this year, but the funding occurs in the tails because it takes that long for the projects to get started. On to the next page. On line 204 is the Senate provision relating to foster care home, foster home certification and licensing modifications. This is the provision that allows certain providers to keep certain beds for mental health individuals. Line 208 is the Senate position reduced for critical access nursing facilities with no tails. Line 212, this is the delay of the 1.67% continuing care provider rate reduction. And related to that, on line 221 is the payment shift. The amount is a little bit different. We needed to do that to accommodate the tails target that we had, which basically meant buying back what used to be the larger amount for this. For 2013, we had to buy some of that back. On line 231 is what was the governor's proposal for MAEPD. On line 244 is a cost-sharing study. This is actually language that was in the Senate's bill that we didn't realize had a cost until during the conference committee. That's why the cost is showing up now. On line 249 is the House position on EBT card reforms. And related to that, on line 256 is an MFIP drug disqualification provision. On line 260, this is, I believe, the House position on a variety of welfare fraud prevention provisions. On line 273 is the House position that would actually, I don't know that this is the House position. I think it might be a revision. This is extending the current fees for 2 years. On line 277 is a provision that both the House and the Senate had for a GA earned income disregard. On line 303 is funding for Teen Challenge. This turned out to be funding for 106 beds. On line 312 is a provision from the House relating to the Wilmar facility that involves reallocating dedicated funds. On line 326 is funding for the Essential Community Support Grants. This is actually a contingent item, and I apologize for not putting that on the spreadsheet. On line 331 is modification of a House provision and a Senate provision that was in the contingent article. Actually, I think this is the Senate provision that was in the contingent article relating to moderation of the corporate foster care capacity reduction. It basically delays it for a year. On line 338 is somewhat related to the above item. This is a reallocation of long-term care funds for the needs analysis. On line 366 is one-time funding from the TANF fund for the FAME program.
Dennis, you know, I'll go back to 349. There's a that child support monitor.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. On line 349 is House provision for child support modifications. Going on to the next page. On line 377 is the Senate position for child care absent days. On line 389 is one-time funding for long-term homelessness. On 397 is a provision that was common to both the House and the Senate for an intractable epilepsy program at People, Inc. It does have tails. Line 401 is a House position modified somewhat, $50,000 funding for Advocating Change Together. Moving on to the next page, these are provisions within the Department of Health. Line 429 is $137,000 for the radiation therapy facilities capacity study. Line 433 is a House provision relating to evaluation of regulatory functions between the Departments of Health and Human Services. Line 452 is the MDH portion for administering the nursing home moratorium exception. Those are the construction projects. On line 456 is the House's position for an autism study. And at the very top of the last page is actually, I think this money is technically going somewhere else at this point, but it's for the EMSRB to do an ambulance association assessment. I believe it's to give money to the ambulance association to do an assessment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Albright. And I would like to give members of the committee opportunity to ask questions. There are, in many cases, modifications that were made to provisions that were adopted that might have originally been either House or Senate provisions as we tried to work within the constraints of the limits that we were provided. I would like to point out that in the TAILS target, for example, this 23 million, if you go back and look on page 4, we're dealing with the 1.67 continuing care payment delay. That single provision is over $20 million. And so, obviously, if you've got a target of 23 or a little bit more than 23 and somewhat over 20 million is going to go to one item, it does constrain a little bit some of the things that originally were provisions in both the House and Senate bills. So at this point, I'd like to just see if there are particular questions from members about provisions or other items in the spreadsheet that we can try to provide further information on. And Representative Abler, did you have some?
So actually, this is the first time we've seen this spreadsheet, too. We sat in a room for a couple hours, and I'm still bruised from the beating I took at the hands of the Senate. But it was a very amiable discussion, actually, at least generally. And actually, it's nice to sit along so well. There's one item, Mr. Chair, on line 303, the teen challenge thing. That's a limited we were really constrained by the tails. And for the people who didn't get their tail stuff, I didn't get all my tail stuff either, so I'm there's some things we wish we could have done, but we did a lot of good things here. On the teen challenge thing, though, one of the changes that happened after we saw our list was this was adjusted down to accommodate some of the surprises that came in the math. So if we could lower the first year to a plug number and make the second year the full amount they requested, that would be, I think, a good thing to do. So that can be done. It would be the same total. But then they'll have their funding that would be intact for the future. And so the language might be that we'd fund a certain number of beds in 2014 and then another number ongoing in 2015. And staff can adjust that.
And Mr. Albrecht or Mr. Berg, I don't know if you, is that something that we can accommodate within the constraints that we have?
Mr. Chair, I believe we can adjust that. It's the same amount of money. So.
Thank you.
I think Representative, I think there still is. Don't we have to do some adjustment? Isn't there a provision that we have to make a decision about? Or
yeah, not tonight, though. They're not ready to testify.
Okay, all right. And we can hold off.
I told them not tonight. They're not ready. We can do it tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Then you can.
We can amend it.
Are there other questions from members of the committee? Any questions we can answer for other people in the room here? We're not talking about language, and there are things in the language that I'm sure people will want to learn more about and talk about, and we will do that tomorrow. But I just wanted to see if anybody had any questions about what's on the spreadsheet, or happy to try to answer those questions. Don't all rush at once up to the table. So.
I didn't know we were in testimony. Leave that open. David. Just give me what number. What does the bill put all the back? And then we can just.
It was rolled down. It's from another spot.
We can do it tonight. This they weren't ready, but he's here. I'll just change what I said.
Representative Abler and I were discussing a provision of the bill. We do have a slight problem, not a large problem, but we need to make a decision about how we're going to deal with a funding issue, and we wanted to get some perspective on that from.
What number is that?
433.
Is it Mr. Kerber who's going to?
Right, in the Department of Health also.
And the Department of Health. So perhaps if they're prepared, they could come and talk a little bit about this provision. There were questions that we had when we were talking about this, particularly for members on the Senate side who are not familiar with this provision, not having seen it in our committee and are not familiar with what is being done, and would just like to invite some comment from anyone who's prepared to provide it.
And so. Actually, the language, maybe staff can tell us what page the language is on. It's Article 2, is it? Article 1, what article is it?
Mr. Chair and members, are you talking about line 433?
Yes.
Yes, that's...
That's in Article 2 at the end. I think it's Section 20.
So, members, if you look in Article 2, Section 20 of the House bill...
Sorry, 18. Mr. Chair, it's Section 21.
Section 21.
It's Section 18 on R21.
Sorry, it's Section 18 on page...
R20.
And you're side by side.
Mr. Mayor, I can describe it a bit if you'd like.
Representative Abler, please.
And we were thinking to talk about this tomorrow. I didn't know we were doing testimony tonight, so the two testifiers haven't prepared a very extensive discussion. Last year, we put some effort into trying to get the Department of Health and Human Services to actually collaborate with the idea of making it sort of a seamless approach to all these groups they license so they could. They would actually coordinate, and if you've been here very long, you know how frustrated you are where we think there's double licensing and double oversight and a very complicated way of interfacing with the Department of Health and the Human Service, and the poor individuals trying to run these group homes and small operations really don't know sometimes even where to go. And so we did a little bit of work last year, which I think was without charge. Did we pay for this last year, Mr. Kerber, something? We paid a little bit. But to finish the work and to try to create a better interface and seamless functionality. The House did a fair amount of looking into this and decided to actually put some money into this to actually get a product at the end. So there could be a more consumer-friendly face on the department as these citizens try to, you know, get licensed and credentialed and make a complaint or trying to have sort of one-stop shopping, even though there's two agencies that are collaborating. And so I've asked Mr. Kerber and the Department of Health to come and comment about this.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Jerry Kerber from the Department of Human Services. And this is, as you can see, it's an appropriation to the Department of Health, but we've been working together on this project for some time. I'm sorry I missed sort of the introduction to hear from Representative Abler, but this is an issue that's been talked about for decades, about whether or not state government is properly organized by having two agencies that do regulatory activities in somewhat similar types of services. And going way back, there was a CORE report under the Carlson administration that looked at this, and it's been talked about for many years. Nothing has ever really happened to move it forward to combine, and there are differing opinions on whether it ought to be and whether there's any savings and whether there's any efficiencies that would be gained from it. And so last year, Representative Abler had a provision in the bill that required that the departments kind of get together and take a look at it and come and report back. And we did that. What we realized through that process, and it was a very valuable process, and I think the report was illustrative of that, there's a lot of complexity, and we do license. We don't really overlap in our licensing activities, although there's a sort of a public perception that we do. We really don't, but there are some ways that we could probably be more collaborative in our licensing functions, and maybe we really ought to be combined and just, you know, put that issue to rest. What we came up with is it was very difficult to do that sort of self-analysis just by ourselves, and so one of the recommendations of that report was that it ought to be broadened just a little bit, this task, but we ought to have a separate third-party reviewer come in and do that kind of work with us. And so that's where the recommendation was for MMB's MAD division, Management Analysis Division, would actually take charge of this project and do the work that's necessary and then formalize this report back with recommendations. And we would certainly be involved all along the way, but sort of giving it a more of a third-party independent review. It sort of gets tough if you have two agencies you know, admittedly, we've got some turf issues, and you know, there's all the issues you can imagine that we have to figure out here. And so, that was a recommendation, and that's what this funding is to support.
Thank you, Mr. Kerbert. And you have another? Please identify yourself. And
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Abigail Reed. I'm the CFO at the Department of Health, and we huddled beforehand so we could coordinate our stories. So I agree with what Mr. Kerber has said.
Thank you, Ms. Reed. The language in the bill that I think begins on in the side-by-side, I think 44.1 down through 44, it's the last bit of the bill that talks about the evaluation and recommendation and should identify or should do, and it lists, I think, three things. Could you just explain what it is that you're trying to identify and accomplish in those three things?
Mr. Chair, would you mind repeating the line number?
Sure. In the side-by-side document on page R21, on lines starting about 44.1 through the end of the paragraph, that it talks about three different things that are supposed to be done. And I'm just wondering if you can just talk a little bit about each of those three things and tell us what those are.
Mr. Chair and members, the first item there is really the core of the report that Mr. Kerber was talking about. So basically it builds on the work done over the past year, but also brings in a broader range of activity. What we found in doing this report is that the scope of the report in the bill last year was limited to certain parts of both the departments, both at Human Services and Health. It didn't include the broad range of regulatory activity in the Health and Human Services area. So what this would do, this first part, is expand it to that broad range. We got feedback from the House committee that they had heard from stakeholders for groups that had not been represented in that first study, and they wanted to make sure we were looking in those places too, because one of the recommendations findings was there wasn't much overlap in the pieces that were examined, and folks wanted to make sure we'd looked at everything and could confirm the same finding for the full range of activity.
And Mr. Chair, the second item is
Mr. Kerber.
Is to address sort of formally that the fact that the Department of Human Services wears multiple hats in this arena, because the department is a provider of these services, is the regulator of these services, and is the payer of these services. And so we're just the intent here is that relationship needs to come into the equation here somehow. And maybe that's a good argument for why the regulatory functions ought not rest in the Department of Human Services, but yet outside, maybe in the health department or maybe in a separate agency. That's what number two is. And number three is an attempt to sort of get at the issue that I think we've heard in other committee discussions about what should we as a state accept as acceptable risks in these kinds of settings, in these long-term care arrangements where there sometimes is a perception that the regulators are holding providers to standards where there are no risks accepted whatsoever in people's lives beyond what any of us would accept as risks. And it's maybe not the most artful way to describe that, but that's what we're trying to get at in that language, is that where the Department of Health and Department of Human Services may have some different philosophical differences on this. And in fact, when we talked about this, we wanted to bring in even the Board of Nursing to look at what are nursing standards and for this kind of discussion, have sort of a comprehensive review of it. And this is one of the areas that kind of got bigger that we thought needs a, you know, maybe an outside sort of coordinator of the effort.
Thank you. thank you, Mr. Kerber. The $136,000, I think, Ms. Reed, that's paying for an assessment or a participation by MMB, is that?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. MMB has a management analysis division, and they engage in these kinds of activities, and basically they bill agencies for their time. And I'm not familiar with the exact details, but it was through coordination with their with their office that this amount was arrived at.
Mr. Chair and members, they really serve as kind of the state's internal consulting group, and we actually found last year with the requirement to do a report on reporting requirements, we call it the report on reports, that actually worked really well. It was a contract with management and budget with the MAD group, and they convened folks from Commerce, Health, and DHS to talk about reporting requirements and where they could be streamlined or eliminated. And I think all three agencies reported that was a really helpful process, and we wanted to use that same process for this really challenging but important question.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your testimony, and if members have questions, I wanted to invite your comments here is that in the course of the discussion that we were having, this was a House provision. I certainly was not familiar with this, and given the limits that we have in the numbers, there are certainly other things that we could add dollars to if we didn't do this. It's not a big picture, a huge amount. It's $136,000. But I just wanted to have some testimony and I guess give the committee an opportunity to make a determination if this is acceptable or if they'd like to talk about other choices. But I just wanted to make sure we had a chance to hear what this was doing since I was not clear exactly what this was involved. So that's helpful, and I appreciate your being able to explain that to us. Any questions from members of the committee or Senator Nino?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one clarifying question because the starting on line 44-4, the number one there, the letter I, there's two parts of that sentence, and it can be read two different ways. My initial reading was that you're going to take a look and determine whether to reorganize, et cetera, and then also whether there was going to be ways to improve that without reorganizing. But I could also read it that you're going to do one of those things or the other. And I just want to clarify, is the intent to do both of those?
Mr. Chair and members, the intent is definitely what you said first, so that the report would examine both options and make a recommendation.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Other questions or suggestions from members of the committee? I guess I'm open to suggestions if anybody. Senator Benson.
And Mr. Chair, and perhaps members of the House can help with this. What specific actionable items, or Mr. Kerber, what specific actionable items will come out of these reports? I see recommendations to reorganize, but I guess without some expectation that they'd be enacted, I'm not sure it's a good use of money. Are they coming back to the legislature with the expectation that they'll have to have draft legislation? Somebody reminded me that legislation without consequences is a suggestion.
Representative Abler.
Well, I'll respond to that. I'll let Ms. Reed and Mr. Kerber comment. One of the roles I see that we have as legislators is to oversee our departments. There's been a lot of talk about state employees and how much we have and is there a lot of duplication or not and how many can we afford. And I personally have a high regard for the state employees. I've gotten to know they work hard, but they need to be organized. And the best workers that aren't working in a streamlined, lean, efficient way are going to not be get the results that we want. And especially the size of the Department of Human Services is massive, and the Department of Health actually has a lot of federal things that go on. And so it's actually hard for us to get our arms around that. And so I saw it as actually one of the duties that we had and actually consistent with our efforts to make sure each employee that we have is valuable. And I would expect there to be some internal changes they would make, as well as maybe some legislative stuff, and I'll let the two departments offer that. But that's what my expectation would be. But I do know that if we don't put some money into this, that it will not happen. And so especially this Department of MMB with their MAD division has been really impressive to me with their ability to bring people together and focus on problems and projects very much like this. So if I could defer to the departments, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Kerber?
Mr. Chair and Senator Benson, I think some of these things would kind of, as the number one item kind of got broken out, as Senator Nino identified, where there are efficiencies to be gained through that we learn about through this process, obviously we're going to want to act on those. But where there's sort of reorganization to be that's recommended in this report from MMB, I think what we would obviously have to do is come back with proposed legislation. We'd be certainly working with members on that, and whether it would be an initiative from the administration or whether, you know, it would be somebody else, but certainly we would want to be very involved in that process. So, you know, we wouldn't be able to sort of, as I understand anyway, kind of reorganize of our own volition. To some extent we can, but I think what we'd be looking for is something bigger than that. There are a lot of statutory issues involved in this. The health department has a licensing statute, or several of them, and so do we, and we would have a lot of things to figure out about jurisdiction, and do we want the same appeal process for licensing sanctions. And, I mean, there's a lot of little details that those of us who like the details would get into. But we would have to have some specific recommendations for all of those things ultimately. But I think having a report that sort of lays out the parameter, and then having, I think the idea would be that the legislature would then establish the will to do this stuff, and then we would get to work on how to implement it.
Senator Laurie, did you have a question?
As to the costs, I'm wondering if it's a combined cost. I'm wondering how much of it is, or if there's any associated with the first part on page R20 there, and the second part, or is all of that that just the MMB for organizing the reports in the second part?
Ms. Reed?
Mr. Chair and Senator Laurie, the $136,000 is divided into two parts. $100,000 is for the MAD convening of the additional study, and $36,000 is related to the website changes for looking at both agencies' websites. And this was really kind of response to stakeholders saying, we just need to know where to find the stuff. It's all, and we know it's all there, but we could do a better job of linking it, making it clear.
Senator Laurie.
And one other, unless somebody wants to follow up on that, but one other technical thing, if we're going to adopt this, it says on line 44.2, recommendations must be submitted in a report to the legislative committees. That's not really how we do it. We do it a report to the chair and ranking minority member of the committees with jurisdiction, because, and then the chair decides whether to have a hearing and have the report to them.
And Senator Laurie, I think when we adopt language tomorrow, we should, if this is a provision we'll include, we'll try to make that correction. Representative Kiffmeyer, did you have a question?
No, a little bit. One of the things that I see that's valuable here in expending this money is the absolute frustration of users out there who go to these websites and do these things, and it wastes their time when it's not efficient. I mean, their time is valuable. And when we can do this, and I'm sensitive to the fact, Mr. Kerber and Ms. Reed, of talking about when you're so big, it's really hard to step back and see, because you have your vested interest, you're into it. So it's really hard to step back and do that. So I can see the value of MAD being able to do that. There is another secondary value that's going on here as well. The Department of Health and the Department of Human Services are up for review by the Sunset Advisory Commission. And this can be very, very constructive and very, very helpful to that work in preparation for that. And that can conserve a lot of resources by having this kind of work being done at this time. So I see quite a bit of value from this, no matter what, but even on the short run, I would suspect that a lot of the users would be championing. The regular folks out there who aren't in this room are saying, yes, this is what we want government to do, and for us as a legislature and oversight to do. So I think it could have a lot of value.
Thank you. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry, I just keep reading this, and my first thought was, well, these are state government agencies, and shouldn't they just be doing this without having, I know it's only $100 and some odd or $1,000, but it just seems like this should be mandatory that there is some governing across the board for all of our agencies. And then my second thought was, well, if, okay, DNR and the PCA, and if they need to be reorganized and new websites, and how much is MMB going to make off of this? I don't know. I understand why we need to do this. I'm just not getting my head around why we have to pay one of our agencies to do this for another one of our agencies. That's all.
Senator Rosen, I I'm sympathetic to your point. I think we had some discussion about it, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to have a little more information about this item before we took action on it. But I certainly appreciate your point. Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And is there some service level agreement associated with this or between MMB and the other departments? Or do you contract as needed?
Ms. Reed.
Mr. Chair and members, are you referring to how we would contract with MMB for this convening and study and report?
Right. Is there something specific for each department that you contract with MMB, or is it kind of an ad hoc, we need something, and you pull in resources from MMB?
Ms. Reed.
Mr. Chair and members, MAD operates as an internal service fund at MMB, and so they have a rate that they charge per hour for their services, and so we would contract with them on an ad hoc basis and then pay those rates for their services. So we don't have an ongoing contract with them. This would be a one-time.
So would the money be being used here be called MAD money then? Is that? President Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Senator Rosen, sorry. I know that, and I think my question for Mr. Kerber is for the Department of Health or DHS, without this funding or without this language, could you go do this anyway with your own authority and abilities and funds in your two departments?
Mr. Kerber or Ms. Reed?
Mr. Kerber. Mr. Chair, Representative Kiffmeyer, I think we probably would have the authority to contract with with MAD to do this kind of thing, but we wouldn't have the money for it, and that's kind of what we're looking for here.
And Mr. Chair and members, I mean, realistically, we've been chipping away at this over time, as Mr. Kerber said, over a long period of time, but we can only kind of chip away at it on the side along with our regular work, because each agency is so engaged in doing the regulation and the work. So what this could help us do is to really have that moment to come together and have that neutral party to help us really, really work through the issue in a systematic fashion.
Mr. Kerber.
Mr. Chair, just one comment to build on that. It's not really by accident that when we talk about there's very little overlap now. I mean, this is the kind of work we've been doing, you know, for 20 years where we've been making sure that wherever possible we can more clearly delineate in statutes that we share who does what and when. It's like whether it's the Maltreatment of Vulnerable Adults Act or the Maltreatment of Minors Act or the background study statutes or even in those programs where we do both have a presence, we have obtained exclusions from our licensing standards where they have a health department license that covers similar activities. So we've really tried not to overlap at all. And so we've kind of feel like we've done all that we can do sort of in that sort of within our current administrative structure. And so if there are gains to be made here through coordination and co-location, we really need a pretty good analysis of that. And it's kind of that would be the next step in what we've done so far.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions or? Seeing none, I would certainly entertain any motions that members may have with respect to the spreadsheet or items in the spreadsheet.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosa.
Could I just make a comment about the critical access dollars?
Please.
That is online. Oh, it's on line 208.
Sorry, Senator Rosen.
208.
Line 208.
And I don't believe the House had a hearing on this bill. Or did you? You did have a hearing. Okay. So it's a really important step for these long-term care facilities, especially out in these rural areas that don't have a lot of options for continuing care or long-term care. This was a project that was developed by the Department of Human Services after having three different hearings with nursing home assisted living administrators, out in Waseca, Alexandria, and New Hope. And this critical access designation was one of the ideas, and Representative Schumacher, just jump in any time, to help alleviate some of these issues with these homes that are on the brink of bankruptcy and closing. And it would be extremely detrimental for the areas that they serve out in Greater Minnesota, for the communities that they serve. And so having this designation, which is, by the way, one of the first in the nation, a critical access nursing facility, would really help. It's kind of a pilot project to see if who would jump on, who would enroll in this. They would get an extra bump in their rate. They'd also have some relief from some of their regulations. They would share the nursing staff or the head nurse, or Representative Schumacher will help me here. And I just think it's really important. And I'd like to again thank the Department of Human Services for coming up with this idea, along with the release of the mandatory Medicare designation also, that will help some of these nursing homes think out of the box. We can't treat long-term care and put them all in one box, because they all have different situations, different clientele, different patients. And it's something I felt very strongly about. I'm going to advocate for long-term care and help sustain these facilities going forward, because we need them. But again, they're extremely important for these communities, and we have to have them viable so these residents and these aging population have a place to go to that's fairly close to where they are from and their families and their friends. And going forward, I see great hope in this designation. So I appreciate the $500,000. It's certainly not. We were actually thinking about $3 million. I backed it down to $1 million. No, I think it was. It was $2 million. And the Senate gave $1 million. I really appreciate that. And I certainly will be happy with the $500,000. But I think this is going to be something that the nursing facilities will jump on.
And Senator Representative Schumacher.
I'll just jump on the bandwagon with Senator Rosen on some of this. Some of the other benefits were the rebasing component for a facility that got this, so that their rates could be more adjusted to the cost of care that they have. We see that especially these facilities are more so the low-rate receivers in this area, and so that would allow them to help in the process. And then also the other portion that we have is the DON and the administrator for two different facilities. As long as they weren't in the same facility on the same day, they would have the ability to manage the facilities there and hopefully save a staff person there. The portion that I really like is that we start getting into the pay-for-performance type of components, because a lot of these facilities, because they're out in the geographically sparse areas, they don't have to compete with another facility just down the road. They're kind of out there on their own. They're the only shop in town. But if they're having to compete for this grant in the whole process, and they're competing with other facilities that are similar to them, have similar challenges to what they have throughout the state, they have more incentive to keep on going. And this is a two-year grant that the facilities would be getting, and forces them to continue to improve on what they want to do too. So I'll just echo what Senator Rosen said on that, and as we move forward, to keep those in mind.
Thank you. Senator Rosen.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. And since it is a two-year grant, it would be nice to have some funding going forward in the tails there. So the facilities would have an incentive to jump on and stay involved and make this project work. And so if we could find another $500,000, I would really appreciate it.
And Senator Rosen and Representative Schumacher, I certainly share your concern, and had the opportunity this past interim period to learn a little bit about this with Senator Rosen's invitation, and I do agree with you. I think it is an important initiative, and one that I think is likely to bear some fruit and a good reform step. And I'm hopeful as well that there would be an opportunity for us to try to do something, and particularly in the tails. But given the constraints we have right now, that's tough. But as you know, in the legislature, things can change in a matter of a day or two. And I'm hoping we can leave the bill at least open for consideration if things do change in the next couple of days, and if we do find we have some additional opportunities, that this would be one of the things I personally would be very interested in seeing if we could do something on the tail side at least to try to help. But we're open to that. Representative
Abel. And thanks. It's, maybe someday we'll actually have a COLA, you know, for a nursing home. Could happen. Is there, just as a technical question, since right now it's only one time, is there language in the technical part that this is available till expended? So in the event that there's a little bit of money left, or they could, at least you wouldn't lose something to the bottom line if it happened across the biennial divide. That might be something we want to make sure we include. Is that?
Mr. Lobeko, did you want to comment?
Mr. Chair and members, there's nothing explicit in the language stating that. It does create the, as Senator Rosen or Representative Schumacher said, the two-year renewal process for the designation.
Okay, well, Mr. Chair, maybe they can research it before tomorrow, but I think since it's only one time now, which I share the excitement about how this could be, and this was really not that fun pushing things onto the floor that we really wanted to do. But at least given the constraints now, at least that money could be available to expend it, so at least it would all be expended for your function, because you might find yourself only spending
$300,000. Right.
And then it drops to the bottom line. So that would be a member
for
tomorrow.
Any other questions or comments from members or members in the audience?
Well, Mr. Chair, I have to make a...
Representative Abel?
There's one change we have to make, and I don't know if you need this, if I can amend the spreadsheet. On line 303, if we change the first 890 to 814 and change the second 890 to 966, and then the language will be made to conform to that, Mr. Chair, and that'll address my concerns. So
what
thank you. The first 890 becomes 814. The second 890 becomes 966, which covers all the beds we were trying to help.
Mr. Albrecht.
Go ahead.
Any questions from members? Clear on the motion. Representative Abler moves amendment to the spreadsheet on line 303 as described. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Missed the thing.
Other questions?
Those don't add to the same amount, do they?
I'm sorry, Representative Senator Lurie. I couldn't hear.
Those two don't add to the same amount, I don't think, do they? No?
Well, they're supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Yep. 814 and 956?
966.
And 66. Sorry. I'm hard of hearing.
I
okay, now they do.
Do you want a motion to adopt the spreadsheet?
Yes, my math was solid.
And members, if there are no additional questions, I'm entertaining a motion. Mr. Albrecht.
Mr. Chair, as we were making that change to the spreadsheet, I realized that when I walked through the spreadsheet, I skipped over the TANF refinancing item because it shows as zeros in our column. But I thought that I should mention that there are global discussions going on that do address TANF refinancing, and that depending on how those discussions conclude, it's possible when people see this spreadsheet again that there will be an amount in this bill for TANF refinancing.
Thank you. Thanks for that that advice. Any other comments? Representative Abler, do you have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the spreadsheet.
Representative Abler moves to adopt the spreadsheet, the 419-2012, dated 8/23, as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, members, and thank you, members of the public, for being here. We will convene tomorrow, and perhaps Representative Abler wants to give us a little advice on what his plan is for tomorrow.
Yeah. So we're thinking around 2 in the Capitol, 2 p.m. Sorry. Uh-huh. I know a lot of the veterans, like, what's 9:35? Well, this is not a human service conference committee. Please, we have our pride. Anyway, now you have your evening. So about 2 o'clock tomorrow in a room to be announced, watch your feeds. And this will be this is online after. And the spreadsheet will be online soon.
And members of the public, what we will do is adopt the language consistent to the spreadsheet that we've just adopted, as well as other provisions that may not have money but have not been adopted already. We'll have opportunity for testimony and we hope to conclude the business, although, as I mentioned, I'm not sure we want to completely close this process down since things are a little bit in flux. And if we have an opportunity to do some adjustments, we certainly want to take advantage of that up to the very last minute. So any questions? That, members, we are adjourned.
Thanks.
That's just when you're in.
Say, Jim, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure you have,
Yes.
I didn't realize that, and I called him an espresso. I was just wondering.
I'm